Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
You're welcome back. This is Newsfile. It's your most authoritative news analysis platform. And here on Newsfile, as always, we put Ghana first. And my guest, Sulemana Brahima, Executive Director, Media Foundation for West Africa. Dr. Justice Yangson, Vice President, Ghana Medical Association. Dr. Kwabena Nyako Otu is Chief Economist and Director, Labor Research and Policy Institute of the Trade Union Congress. And Martin Pebu is a lawyer and rights activist. Today he's been out of my control.
We have to do it for Mother Ghana. Let's do it. This is the time.
Some of you have sent a few messages. I just want to try and share just some of them. This one's from Eli Kem, official. He says, a taxi driver returned an amount of 8,000 to a trader and was applauded by everyone, even the vice president. Now an honest king, Togbi Afede, has returned money. He thinks it's inappropriate and he's being questioned. C. Little Tete says, without strong watchdog institutions, impunity becomes the very foundation upon which systems of corruption are built. And if impunity is not demolished, all efforts to bring an end to corruption are in vain. Nick Hotto says, all these payments, aside salaries, allowances, and PECs, now you know why people do what they do to either win power or maintain the power they have. Well, they say it's a life and death. Enyima Koray says the Council of State is one of the white elephant institutions in this country, yet they take fat salaries and benefits plus S. Gresha, milking the state for 4 years for no work done. Albert Blankson says, Ghana is not poor. The political elite have rendered us poor through unprecedented looting like the S. Gresha. Collins T. says, leaders lead when they take positions. The Council of State should be able to take positions on matters on national interest. Kwame says that this country needs a head restart, reset, a head reset, a hard reset. It needs a hard reset, starting with the Constitution. How are we supposedly so broke, yet we have money to fund such things? Eric, 20, says, if this S. Gresha is crap, can we name those projects as Gresha projects so that we would know the worth of scrapping it? Mr. Lukman says, imagine collecting S. Gresha of this proportion or similar every 4 years as an MP. Lobbying money hasn't come, salary hasn't come, contracts, deals not represented yet, allowances for those on boards also not come yet. Must be nice. Writer boy says, the president said that if anybody wants to make money, they should go to the private sector. But the actual truth is that public sector jobs are more rewarding. And finally, Clan Steven says, an auntie retired as a teacher 2 years ago. She received 7,000 Ghana cedis as lump sum after serving for 30 years. And my mom and dad will both be retiring next year. I wonder what they will receive. So that's why I asked the question, if they ex gratia beneficiaries, Article 71, is done with conscience. Now, Dr. Otu, again, let's start with you, and very brief comments because we have limited time. The issue that came up in the course of the week about lack of productivity, and yet there is some enjoyment, so to speak, by public sector workers. What will be your comments about it?
So I think that the question about productivity, like ex gratia, has been discussed extensively within the public sector. But we only discuss it when we are about to go for negotiations. And then the employers begin to say, well, your productivity is low. Even if we agree that it's low, after negotiations, let's do something about it. The employers will not do anything about it until, and this days includes government, until after the next round of negotiations. The fact is that nobody knows the productivity level in the public sector. There's no scientific assessment of it. We have done a poor job at doing that. We have established the Management Productivity and Development Institute as far back as the 1970s, but we don't have productivity indicators. We have nothing. But we know that on a single span, somebody is taking 1,800 Ghana cedis as an immigration officer, staying at Bansoman and working at the airport. If you put the expenditure, and in fact, there's expenditure data by the Ghana Sars Castle. If you put that expenditure data against the earning of 1,800 Ghana cedis, the person is in serious deficit of over 100%. At least the government budget deficit is around 11%. The personal household deficit is over 100%. Earnings against expenditure in this country. Now, the point about productivity is so overflowed, and I don't know, the state appears unwilling to do anything about it. Okay. So it only uses it as a bargaining chip. The public sector is not productive. Okay. Is the parliament productive? What do they earn? What the amount of money they earn? Is the executive productive? Is the judiciary productive? So in the public sector, only Article 71 is productive. That is why they earn so much. The rest of us are not productive. Okay, if that is the message. But, I mean, come to think about it.
Just a second. I've been aware of an independent constitutional body where the state had been paying salaries to the workers in that office, but money for operation they didn't have. It took the EU to be giving them bits and pieces for them to go and do one or two work. The state was paying salaries. It was not bothered about money to operation or to work.
Exactly. So the state itself appears not to care about productivity, not to care about the people it recruit and the work it has to do for the state. But something, think about it this way. Dr. Janssen is a medical doctor. He has colleagues across the districts and regions. In a whole district, you have one medical doctor breaking their back to provide medical services. The UN has standards on in terms of the ratio of, say, nurses to the population, police to the population. Be falling short of all of these ratios. Yet the police service, whom we castigate, they have done their best to keep this country safe in spite of all the difficulties they face. The nurses have done the same across the country. The teachers, I have been a teacher before. I taught in a village where you only have a car coming on Sundays and Wednesdays. I got into serious medical problem on a Monday evening. I nearly died in the village. And I was earning peanuts only to hear that, oh, that one was even an overpayment. Demoralizes people in those hinterlands. They are doing their best under the circumstances to help the country. And I think we should refrain from such comment. Okay. Of course, the government statisticians has come out to say that is not what he said.
Right.
sometimes the media people in your headlining can also be problematic. You also need to check that. Mm. Because you can actually break the heart of a teacher in a village somewhere.
He says what people earn should be equal to their output and be equal to what they spend. Mm-hmm. I'm quoting him.
It should be equal to what they spend. So if you take the basic needs of an individual, of a household, with the healthcare service itself has data on. Okay. Now, and again, the problem is that he put it the whole public sector. And you know that in the public sector, there's a CEO whose rent allowance alone is about $5,000. Mm-hmm. If you put that together and find an average, that average will not represent the majority in the public sector. It has to be put in context.
All right. Dr. Yankotu, thank you so very much. Yes, Dr. Yansen, you guys have also been, you know, fighting. And when this news comes, the suggestion he's making is that it is deliberate at a time when you are fighting for better wages.
Well, you see, labor will not take kindly to certain pronouncements because at the end of the day, when they look at the micro level activities, like I'm now saying, there's a huge deficit that labor has to grapple with on a daily basis. But you see, this issue of the productivity is always made to look as if labor is, in quote, the cause of the so-called low productivity in the public sector. But what is productivity? It's output. The ratio of outputs and input, so output over input, where input will basically be capital, labor, and other resources. Now, the capital, like I'm now saying, in some situations, the employer doesn't even put it in there. The factors that will enhance production or increase productivity don't exist. From basic tools to, I mean, modern tools to machinery, technology, all of these things, they are not there. Sometimes the employer is not even ready to train and retrain their staff to improve their skills. But you see, one thing I want people to appreciate is that if, one, as a people, we don't have any indicators to track productivity, we haven't put in place any measuring metrics for productivity. For example, if we take a metric like revenue per employee, in the public service, it is not all about revenue or profits. Some of the services are tailor-measured as a social good. Mm. So if somebody does that kind of services that is not quantified in monetary terms, how do you say that the man is not productive? Mm. For example, if a lawyer at the legal aid board goes out there to render pro bono services to the less privileged in society so that they also get the proper legal representation as per our constitution, or a social service worker or social welfare worker tracks a certain 8-year-old child who is being abused or whatever in a remote place, spends a whole week or two to manage to retrieve this person, bring the person to safety and proper care and all that happens. How are you going to say that such a person is not productive when you don't have any measure to quantify the effect of some of these.
We have run out of time. I would like to share a few of the messages that some of our viewers have been sending in. This one is from a procurement guru, Kwabena Atabedu. He says that, Samson, how do you expect the constitution to be changed when the people who stand to lose are the politicians? We, the citizens, must find a way of making the change without the politicians. If we expect them to make the changes, it will never happen the way we want it. And we should also be reminded about the ex gratia. The only remuneration that lawfully cannot be diminished, according to the labor law, is the base pay. Every other item is discretionary and can be varied at the pleasure of the employer. All HR practitioners know this one. Okay, so this one from Yakubu Ibn Chambers. He says that at the end of the year, every year, we should have a mechanism that evaluate the return on investment for those institutions that take home ex gratia. Until that is done, the ex gratia thing is a complete cash milking cow. The bane of Ghana is the absence of a mechanism for tracking return on investment and value for money. Then you have to forgive me. This one says, so times have changed. A 40-year-old president does not need advice or bereft of an out-of-touch elders who see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil. The president has a cabinet and has the power to appoint all kinds of specialist advisors. We are wasting funds that otherwise would have been spent on developmental needs of the country. Time to scrap the Council of State. And this is by Anderson, Frank Anderson Jr. Unfortunate, I'm sorry, but my time is up. My outfit, as always, is by Habil Scooter. You can call them on 0200-84-1988. And my guest on News File for today have been Martin Pebu, who is a lawyer and rights activist, Suleimana Brahima, Executive Director, Media Foundation for West Africa, Dr. Youngson, Justice Youngson, Vice President, Ghana Medical Association, you just heard him, and Dr. Kwabena Nyako Otu, Chief Economist and Director, Labor Research and Policy Institute, Trades Union Congress. Have a good afternoon.